This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. The meaning's supposed to be believe, but I told that beats are awesome and that down it be amazing. But enough about me, yes, we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would have been kids a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Any mood, I didn't got it wrong, we call it PG. Rating M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Behold,
Trophy Horror.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 217. I'm your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside with me, Donnie.
What up, dope people? Y'all missed me last week. I missed y'all. So, let's get it poppin'.
Next is I Yield to No One.
Well, although everybody is a little agitated with me because I was a little bit late, I do have a really good reason, though.
Again?
Yeah, but this is a good reason, though.
Okay, we'll judge you in the whore court right now. Go ahead.
All
right.
My nieces were over, and we were sitting here watching Looney Tunes.
That's not a good enough reason.
Is it modern Looney Tunes or our Looney Tunes?
Yeah, it's old school Looney Tunes.
Okay, that's a good enough explanation.
See?
All right. And also with us, the man, the myth, the legend, Alex.
Donnie's intro makes me think that we're in a Black Eyed Peas music video.
What?
I don't get that either.
He's like, let's get it popping. And that just sounds like something the Black Eyed Peas would say in a song.
Oh, let's get it started. Ha!
Get it started. Well, that's actually the edited version of the song.
Yes. That's the radio safe version.
Wait. So they edited Let's Get It Started instead of Let's Get It Popping. They took popping out and put started.
No, Donnie, the original song is Let's Get Retarded.
Is it really?
What?
Yes.
What? They took that out?
Exactly. Let's get retarded. Ha. Oh, that even makes even more sense with the ha, because retarded people do ha.
This show is going downhill so damn fast.
Wow, I wasn't even going there, but all right.
That makes so much more sense. Like, oh my goodness, FCC, you busters. That's why I love internet radio.
All right, just for the record, I am extremely tired because I did a 3-hour spoilers last night on Arkham Knight, and oh my lord. 3.5-hour epic spoilers. That was better than Tomb Raider, so I feel redeemed as far as Tomb Raider goes.
That will still never come out.
I doubt that, yeah. If it was that epic, it's going to get lost.
Oh, it was epic. Two people that heard about it on Facebook and decided to join us.
So that right there alone does make it better than the Tomb Raider, just because we have fan interaction.
Donnie, no, there is nothing better than Tomb Raider.
You know what? I try to make it sweet, but he's kind of technically right.
No. Tomb Raider is a better game. This was a better spoiler show.
Whoa!
There's nothing better than the epicness of the Tomb Raider.
Wait a minute, you saying Tomb Raider game story itself is better than Arkham Knight?
Arkham Knight, yes.
Wow, me and you kind of agree on something.
Uh-oh. Well, that's it. Just end
Hell
the show
has
now.
Just broken
yeah,
over.
Yeah, end the show now. Good night, everybody.
Let's do as we do every week and give you our updated trophies. I am level 27, total trophies of 6,254, and a plaque count of 43. Donnie?
I am looking at level 26. Have I been 26 or was it 25? I think I've been 26.
You've been 26 for a long time.
Okay. Trophy count is 55, 83, and plaque is 75 still.
Alex, sir?
Level 24, 4,721 trophies, and I have 58 platinums in 57 games.
And yield.
Level 20, trophy count of 3,369, and a platinum count of 41.
All right. We're going to get into what we're playing. I'm going to start it off this week, because I never started off.
That's because no one cares.
Good reason.
That is true. Nobody cares about what Tricky's playing. But I did play some Drive Club, PlayStation Plus Edition, I definitely got to, like, have more patience playing that game because the driving, you're just, like, all over the track. Kind of like Gran Turismo style. Just, like, it's too realistic, and I gotta get out of that arcade racer mode out of my head. I finished up Arkham Knight, finding up all the Riddler trophies, got the full Nightfall protocol ending. We talked about that on the spoilers. Played Mousecraft, which is one of the games we got from PlayStation Plus. Great game, definitely challenging your mind. I would say it's a combination of Mousetrap and lemons.
How do you combine that game with citrus fruit?
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you make lemonade with...
Not lemons, lemons.
Yeah, I know, lemons, like, they're the same word, you're saying the same word, Tricky.
L-E-M-M-I-N-G-S.
You mean lemming.
Lemmings.
Okay, forget my Northern New York accent, okay? If everybody should forget your hick accents, you can forgive my Northern accent, my Yankee accent.
Hick? Who are you calling a hick?
You.
Me? I'm not the furthest south.
You smell like the inside of my mama's purse.
See?
I also played a little Rocket League. That's a good game. And I checked out PlayStation Now and started playing a game that I should have played years ago, but I'm starting to play Twisted Metal.
You didn't really have to play that.
Wait, is this the PS3 one?
Yes, I'm on PlayStation Now playing it.
That one's not very good, though.
Yeah, that one sucks.
I'm very much realizing that from my first match. But that's all I've been playing. I like Mousecraft. I've gotten 100% of the trophies already. There's 80 levels. It makes you think. Makes you brain work. So Donnie's never going to get a trophy in the game whatsoever.
Well, man, I got about three or four different brain games that I play often. I like them.
Yeah, that you probably looked up the guides for, but we won't go there. Alex, what have you been playing, buddy?
Getting near the end of Dishonored, so just been playing more of that, sneaking around and knifing some people, and generally just causing some chaos in the city of Dunwall. I will say that I was looking over the trophy list, and I remember one part from I completely forgotten about this first part from the time or from when I played the game before. And it's the very end of the game. You can have a very abrupt kind of like punch to the gut moment in that game if you don't do act fast enough, or if you just kind of like try to hesitate. If you just hesitate, and this is a spoiler, so kind of skip ahead 30 seconds. So my first time playing the game, essentially one of the characters, the protagonist in the second game, Emily Caldwell, she's grown up. She's a young girl in the first game, and her mother is killed. Her mother was the Empress, and she's kidnapped. So you find her, you go save her, and then later in the game she's kidnapped again. And at the end of the game, is one of the bad guys is holding her, and he's standing on the edge of a cliff, and you're approaching him. And if you walk too close to him, he basically just jumps off the cliff with her in his arms. Game over.
Whoa.
But so essentially what you have to do, and what I'm prepared to do this time, is actually shoot him before he can do that. But it's just one of those endings that's just kind of like, wait a minute, what happened? Why? Why did she have to die? Like, what? I mean, you can't rewind. I mean, you can reload your game, but it was just kind of one of those surprising endings that he would do that, and yeah. So I completely forgot about that until I looked at the trophy list, and it's like, you know what? Maybe I should act a little bit differently. Maybe I shouldn't hesitate this time.
Maybe you shouldn't be a dick?
Oh, no, I'm kind of a dick in that game, because if anyone gets in my way, they're going down. Like, I'm not afraid to just whoop out or pull out my knife blade and just kind of start a little Kool-Aid party.
Kool-Aid party?
It's like, sneaking around is kind of, it takes a lot of skill in that game, but at the same time, it's more fun just to go at people.
Well, eventually, don't you have to not kill? Don't you have to go through the game and not kill anybody?
Yes, there's a gold trophy in the game called Clean Hands, and you have to go through the entire game without getting killed without killing anybody. There's also other trophies where you cannot alert anyone, so you basically have to, like, there's walkthroughs online that show you the perfect route to go through the entire game without alerting anyone or killing anyone. So I think the trophy rarity on that one, the platinum for Dishonored, is like 8%. So it's really rare, but I'm gonna go for it.
All right, so Yield, what have you been playing, buddy?
Been playing some Simpsons Tapped Out, and I went back to an old PSN game last night just for the heck of it. I was playing some Dogfight 1942.
That was like an NES game, wasn't it?
No, what was it called? I don't think it was Dogfight, but I know what you're talking about because I played it. But there was a PSN game called that as well, and it's pretty fun. I got a trophy in it last night, and I was going back trying to see if I could get some more. That's it. I haven't been playing much this week.
All right, so Donnie, what have you been playing?
I've been playing me some Batman Arkham Knight. I beat it the night of the recording of the spoilers, but I didn't make it. And I played me some, man, what is that called? J-Stars Versus. Basically, it's just a bunch of anime from different anime characters from different animes just fighting each other. And, you know, get a team, team of four or more. You know, two of you combatant, you got a supporter and all that stuff. It's pretty fun. It's a lot more fun than Dragon Ball Z Xenuverse, in my opinion. And the Dragon Ball Z games has been that Tenkaichi style of fighting. And you guys who play Dragon Ball know what I'm talking about. So I like it. And I am digging the whole Batman Arkham Knight.
Let's talk about our first topic. Sony is releasing a limited edition Destiny The Taken King PlayStation 4. Yield, I know that you just recently bought a PlayStation 4, and I know that you're not into Destiny, but looking at the picture of this, do you like the idea that now the custom PlayStation 4s are actually covering the entire PlayStation 4 and not just the faceplate at the top?
I did see a picture of that, and it is pretty sweet. A guy at work hopes they would announce a price point and pre-order soon because he's ready to buy one and he wants to buy that one, but they haven't announced a price point yet. But I think it looks cool.
Okay, I want to say something about you talking about covering the whole thing. Yes, it looks pretty decent. It's covering a whole front or top part of the system, but all it does is like a bunch of dust sprinkled all over it. Like, it's not really a big thing that's graphical about
it. It's a map, Donnie.
Wow, my bad. The map of the galaxy, which is a bunch of little dots of stars all over
it. No, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the dang old thing. It got a symbol. It has a symbol or a seal of the gold seal of, I'm assuming, Destiny's mark or seal or whatever. And it has Destiny in gold with the seal written on top of it. But the rest of it, all it is a bunch of, like, dust particles.
No, it's a map of the universe, apparently, or something like that.
Yeah, still, the universe from extremely far away. And what do you see when you look up at the stars? A bunch of little dots. And here, that's what you're seeing, a bunch of little dots that's covering. And they don't even, like, it's just like a bunch of, like, a little Etch-a-Sketch dots. And, like, that's covering the whole entire top part. Like, and it's white. So, basically, they just took the white PlayStation and just put a bunch of little Etch-a-Sketch dots on there and said, hey, we covered the whole top for you guys who like the whole top covered up. I guess if you like the white system, you would dig it. Which I really, really wanted the white system.
Yield has just passed a message on to me that I was unaware of, and I feel it's like our due diligence to mention this on the show. I know we are a Sony show, but there is news coming out now that Nintendo president Satoru Iwata has passed away at the age of 55 years old. I'm reading the article on Kotaku right now. It says that he was forced to skip last year's E3 due to poor health, and shortly afterwards underwent surgery to remove a bile duct growth.
Yeah, on Reuters it says, from Tokyo, it says he died Saturday due to a growth in his bile duct.
So I want to pass on my thoughts and prayers to him and his family, and that's very sad to see him go.
Yes, yes, yes. Sad to see anybody go, but yes.
I don't know how to continue with the show. Does anybody else want to say something before we try to get this show back on track?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who grew up in Nintendo, I mean, he was, even in recent years, he was kind of one of the big powerhouses behind that company, and a lot of games that we all, even if you didn't own a Wii or Nintendo 64 or GameCube, you know, he was... he was behind, you know, a company that put out, you know, at least, you know, put out mini games that we'll all cherish. And, you know, he helped the company get to that point, to the, you know, to what we recognize today. So, I mean, it's definitely a sad day. And so unexpected too. Cause it caught me completely off guard when Yield typed it in the chat.
I had no clue either.
It's very sad. And he, you know, we definitely, as gamers, whether you like Nintendo or a lot, owe a lot to Satoru Iwata for what he did for the gaming industry. Yeah. It's a really just, yeah, it's a tough loss. And as, you know, as losing anybody is always tough, but you know, that he's one of the ones who, you can complain about what Nintendo did or didn't do for fans and gamers, but, you know, he's definitely responsible for helping us as gamers create wonderful memories and cherish certain games. And, you know, he put out games that we'll all cherish. So, you know, it's definitely our, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who was close to Satoru Iwata. Yeah.
All right, let's try to get this back on track a little bit here. Our next topic is Killzone's developer for the PlayStation 4's new IP, Zero Dawn, has announced that the game will not have multiplayer.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. It doesn't even look like a multiplayer game, so good.
As your game of the show for E3, Alex, how do you feel about this news?
It's nice to see that they don't always have to cram multiplayer into every game, as we felt. Well, one game in particular that I felt like Dead Space. You know, there are games like Uncharted that can do it really well, but I think in stuff like The Last of Us and Dead Space, it just doesn't need to be there. And I feel like sometimes that it's added in as a sense of obligation to put it in there because to extend the life of the game and because multiplayer has become so popular, especially with the advent of online play. So I like it. I think that's a game that looks like the single player and the game itself can stand on its own. And I like a game that's a story game, story-based game, that the campaign can just stand on its own without needing multiplayer.
Quick question. When you said to extend the life of the game, do you really think that really happens? Especially for games who really don't really deserve multiplayer, do you think that really extends the game play?
I think that maybe game makers and creators think it might. It's another bullet point on the back of the box. It's another feature. It says, well, instead of saying you can get 12 hours of this game, you can say you can get 50 hours out of this game. I think it's a selling point. At least I think that, you know, game companies see it as a selling point. Now, for you and I who don't really play multiplayer, it's not necessarily a selling point. But if you do it right, like Uncharted, I guarantee that people have played that game many, many hours more than they would have if there was just a single player campaign.
I enjoy the co-op aspect. I mean, the multiplayer is fun, but I enjoy the co-op aspect of Uncharted more than I did the multiplayer, of where you could do the three people together going against, you know, the map and the bad guys. I enjoyed that.
Okay, and you're right. I didn't think about that aspect. Yeah, you're right. The developers think it will extend the game, as opposed to the gamers. No, it doesn't. But I got another question.
Well, no, hold on a second. Hold on, Donnie. It does extend the game because of the aspect that if you go under the belief that if you're sitting there playing with a friend, you're enjoying the game more because you're playing it with a friend. So, yeah, it does extend the life of the game. But the problem is me and you, we'd rather have a full single-player experience than a multiplayer experience. But, like, for Yield, who, you know, has once-a-month gamer night with his buddies, couch co-op is a big selling point to him. So if this was somehow a couch co-op game, it would extend the life of the game for him because now he has a reason to sit down with his buddies and say, hey, let's go through Zero Dawn again.
No, not co-op. Co-op, yeah, that's most definitely would extend the game. I'm talking about multiplayer, not playing with two people on the same console. Me and you playing from where we are. Oh, all four of us playing from where we are, multiplayer. That right there, developers do think that would extend.
And you don't think it will?
No, I don't. Like, I ain't gonna say I know for a fact, cause I don't know for a fact, but I bet you it was major, major confidence when they created it in Dead Space 2. And I just knew in that conference room, oh yeah, this is gonna blow up,
Well, multiplayer doesn't work in every game, but in a game like Grand Theft Auto, you know, say what you want about the heist, but the heist add playtime. I mean, now it gives reason to go back and, you know, for yield, me, you, and Alex all to sit down and do a heist.
Okay, that's funny in its own, because how does add heist?
No,
I hear you. Add heist does add more time or more playtime.
It gives a reason for us to sit down and play the game again.
It gives us a reason to play the game again if heist can actually get put off in the game.
But see, I look at heist as more co-op. Because multiplayer is more. I look at multiplayer as more. It's them against you, and there's really no story. Heist is more co-op because you are working together to achieve a goal, and it's somewhat story driven.
Yeah, heist is not couch co-op, so I can't really say. Yeah, it's co-op, but it's not couch co-op, so I still kind of label that under multiplayer because you need the internet in order to do it.
You know what, Donnie? It's splitting hairs. I understand your reasoning. Yeah, that's splitting hairs. That's not. I understand what you're saying, and I understand your logic behind it. But it's still co-op.
Yeah, it's co-op. Yeah. I said it's co-op. Now you can have hours and you can have more hours, in my opinion, with co-op, other than multiplayer in certain games, like games like this Horizon. This looks like it doesn't deserve a multiplayer in it, because what the heck? Now, I just want to, easing off that a little bit, let's go into this co-op thing, because Arkham Knight has single player co-op. I guess you can call it that now, but you sometimes. Well, I don't know what you can call it, but sometimes.
I know what you're saying.
Single player co-op? Like, are you mean like teaming with a computer, like an NPC?
Yeah, you're teaming with an AI to take down people, and you can switch back and forth between the characters.
But that's only in certain parts of the game where the game is. It doesn't require you, but it's part of the story where it makes you, where you fight with either Nightwing, Robin, Catwoman, or some other ally of Batman. And you do some awesome, awesome moves together. But I ask you, would that game would have the same feel to it if it was an optional co-op? Meaning that even you have the AI co-op who's going to automatically be there. But if somebody else can go through that game with you as the Boy Wonder or as, you know, Catwoman, would that game still have the same feel to you? Or would you think that game would have the same feel to you?
Well, let me answer your question with a question of my own. The Last of Us is technically two people going through the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have added a couch co-op or an online co-op so the other person can control Ellie, would that have changed The Last of Us for you?
Yep. Due to the fact the story would not be as impact as it is, due to the fact, mainly because Ellie helped you out in a certain situation to where you think you weren't going to get out of, or Ellie would do something just spontaneously, I guess you could say, or the developers made her do it at that point. But if you were controlling Ellie in that situation to where I just knew I wasn't going to get out, it was no hope for me, but then again, I do have hope because you're controlling the other player and I can just say, hey, Tricky, get this guy off me. It will have nowhere near the same impact as if, like, dang, that guy almost drowned me in a bottle, in a bowl of water when a gun is, like, literally fingers away from me. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get
it. It wouldn't have the same impact. Mm-hmm. So in that case, situation, using Last of Us, no, it most definitely would change the story and the impact of the game. Using Batman as this example, I think it would be. I guess the only fun would be is when y'all actually go into combat when it comes to co-op in Batman, if it was there.
All right, so let me ask Alice a question, just because I asked the question. If The Last of Us was couch co-op or online co-op, would that change the story for you, Alex?
It wouldn't be as attractive of a game to me, you know. And they could keep the game content the same, and the story the same, the dialogue the same.
Yield, same question.
I think it would change the game a little bit because you wouldn't have the same dynamic. Like Alex was saying, it would take away from the experience.
You know what? I asked you three the question. I'm going to answer it myself. I hear everything you guys are saying,
I'm going to say something to counteracting by all of us.
It's not counteracting. Yes, I don't know if it would change it for me, because why can't I ever answer without you trying to put your opinion in?
Because, man, because you always going against it on the most stupid.
I'm not going against anybody.
You know, well, they would add co-op in that Last of Us game. It would change the whole dynamics of the story. Totally. You know that.
I'm not too sure it would, because the fact of the, look, I understand what you guys are saying about the way Ellie reacts. And, you know, I get that. And you know what? That was very, very important to me in the original story. To have somebody now control Ellie, yeah, it would change the game. It would. But I think it would have been cool to go through the game. You know, instead of having, like, because one of the biggest gripes was with The Last of Us, it was always Ellie walks right in front of a guy and nobody sees him. And, you know, how does that happen? You know, now you have somebody else controlling Ellie. Maybe that wasn't such a factor. I don't know.
Okay, that would be the only factor that would change in that game. And that would be the only factor that would change, because now AI sees both of you, the two yous. Now, when you're playing by yourself and Ellie is being controlled by AI, yes, for some reason, Naughty Dog didn't think that, well, how come Ellie is invisible to the other AI? But maybe it could just be the whole AI factor. AI is cool with AI just as long as AI is not attacking AI. I don't know. I just made that up. But but in my opinion,
let's bring this back to Horizon for a second.
Before we close out with this whole co-op thing, I feel that the only way co-op can be used properly, in my opinion, is two. You have to bring co-op in from the very beginning of the game, meaning the first one ever. If you want to have multiple games in the series, you have to have co-op in there from the very beginning. Don't bring it in later. Also, it only really works with games like Gears of War, you know, games of that sort, shooters or something like that. And I'm not talking about Uncharted-type shooters. I'm talking about game shooters like Call of Duty or Gears of War-type shooters. In my opinion, that's like the only way co-op can really be used properly.
Well, you just said Gears of War, which is a third-person shooter, and Call of Duty, which is a first-person shooter. But technically, Uncharted could be classified as a third-person shooter as well. I mean, I know it's an action-adventure game, but it's technically a third-person shooter as well.
Yeah, but okay, Gears of War is an action-packed game that's telling you a story. But it's nowhere, I guess it's contradicting, because
let's go back to Horizon then. The studio art director John Bart Van Beek and lead producer Lambert Wolterbeek were talking about the core of the game is a single player experience, but there will be, quote, certain social features in there, end quote. He also said that the combat breaks down into three different styles. One style being a player's focus on stealth tactics. The other one gives the player plenty of firepower to use. And the third and final style will be oriented around setting up traps to get your opponents.
This is all, like, fluent, right? This is not, like, Mortal Kombat style of styles.
I don't know. I'm reading the article. You're asking me questions like I should know the answer.
You read more than read, I would hope, because you're the host. I just thought
you're supposed to read these articles. All right, let's go to our next article here. In a little bit of news that we kind of saw coming, the Japanese voice actor for Solid Snake, I'm going to try to say his name, but I'm going to probably butcher it, Akito Asakuka, has confirmed officially the closure of Kojima Productions. He said on Twitter, Kojima Productions was forced to disband, but it appears that the work that the team has been putting their utmost effort into nearly is complete. I'm not exaggerating when I say that I expect it will become the greatest masterpiece. I couldn't help it. I just wanted to say, kept you waiting, huh? But even if this is the end, Metal Gear Solid is immortal. Kojima's final game, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, is set to arrive on September 1st. And That's all the article says. Basically, he's confirming the closure of Kojima Productions.
Sure. Sure, it's going to be the last Metal Gear Solid game. You ain't even saying that for since, what, 3? Sure. I see it when I believe it when I don't see a Metal Gear Solid game for the next 20 years. I'm like, hey, maybe he was right about that.
All right. And our next and last topic is going to touch on the previous article we were talking about with backwards compatibility. Somebody asked Shuhei Yoshida about backwards compatibility, and his answer was, quote, "I totally understand people are asking for it, and if it was easy, we would have done that." He adds, addressing fans for the similar function on the PlayStation 4 for backwards compatibility, quote, "But our focus is creating PlayStation 4 games and adding new services. Remaking games on PlayStation 4 makes the games even better. With The Last of Us, you can play 60 frames per second, and the same goes for Dark Souls 2. Actually, I just finished Dark Souls 2 again on the PlayStation 4. Now, I hear Donnie laughing, because I know, and I know why he's laughing, but let me point out one thing. He's accurate in what he says, but, as Donnie's gonna get into, stop remaking games, make new games.
Exactly. Like, I'm sorry, listeners, you hear me laugh a lot in these shows during Tricky's reading the articles, because all video game information is laughable, especially nowadays, and it's been laughable for a long time. Like, dude, you're going to focus on making games? You mean, are you going to focus on actually creating new games, or are you going to focus on adding a splash of paint or another coat of red to the old games that we have? Because that's exactly all we have. I'm like, come on. Backwards compatibility for again, people. So what? I don't care about it. Leave it alone. Focus on video games, or perhaps can I look at my trophy list without being online? Can you concentrate on something like that? Can you concentrate on something even more important, like you just said, actual video games? And I'm not just talking about PSN games, because those are like the only original ones that's coming out, because, hey, how can you remake a indie game? You know, it can't be done. You can't remake it unless it's been out already. But still, come on. Stop crying about this backward compatibility. Yeah, I said it right the first time. Stop crying about it. So what if Xbox has it? So what if some of Station 3's have it? Where the newer models. So what? The thing about it is, we didn't have it when we had our old consoles, like Nintendo, Genesis, Super Nintendo, and even the consoles after that, the PlayStation, none of that stuff. But still, we got new consoles. Stop trying to make things convenient for your life because you're too lazy to take out that HD cord that goes in the back of your system and put it in the other system that's sitting right next to it. Stop being so freaking lazy.
All right. Alex, you want to say anything?
I mean, not really. I think I said before, I mean, for those who don't know about what I think about backwards compatibility, it used to be a really kind of enticing thing when the PS3 first came out, and it's like, oh, I can play my PS2 games on the PS3. That's awesome. And I used backwards compatibility once, and eventually my 60 gig PS3 died, and well, my Slim doesn't have backwards compatibility. I've never really cared since. I haven't cried over it, so I think it's another feature, but I don't think it's necessary. And, you know, even though I'm playing a lot of old games, they're digital versions, so I think that so many older games now are coming out digitally that you really don't need backwards compatibility.
All right, and Yield.
The backwards compatibility, yeah, I'm sort of like Alex. You know, it's cool to have. It's more of like an option. I really never end up using it, so it's not that big of a deal. It's going to be a big deal to the fanboys. People are going to keep making a big deal about it, but it's honestly, it's really not that big of a deal. What hurts the most with this whole backwards compatibility is that Sony's trying to have you pay for now, which is a, so to speak, a backwards compatibility thing, you know, subscribe to it. And then now Xbox is going, but look, we can just let you do it for free. That's where I see the big conflict happening.
You know what really sucks? What Sony is doing, what they need to stop, is having everything being connected to online. You have to have network to watch your movies. You have to have network to look at your trophies. You have to have network to listen to the music. You have to have network for everything. I'm like, that junk is stupid. I only want network to search the web, if I ever search the web on it, and to play my video games with. Why do I need network? Even for the game, movies and stuff that I bought, spent my money on, I can no longer listen to them unless I'm connected online.
Well, Donnie, here's the thing about those. Well, two things. Whenever you try to browse the internet on a console, it's painful. So you should never do it because it's just completely unbearable. Second, you're not buying the movies; you're buying the rights to watch that movie.
Oh my god! Here you go with this thing again. Here you go.
There's a throwback there.
Yeah, here you go with this thing again.
No, because Donnie. Okay, Donnie. Look, here's the thing. You have, like, say you buy a DVD or a Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. Can you play that DVD or Blu-ray on any single device you want to? On any device you want to?
Yes.
No, you
can't.
I don't really care about playing on any device. I just care about playing it on my TV that I bought.
As long as they have a Blu-ray driver, then yes.
Yes.
So you can only – and some movies you can't just, like, rip straight to your computer because you don't own the movie. You own the right to watch that movie.
I don't care about ripping. I don't want to rip. If I bought the movie, it is mine.
I know I ripped one.
You're not buying a movie.
Yes,
Donnie.
I am.
You're buying the rights to watch the movie.
Dude.
You don't own.
I say
you
again.
Don't own The Matrix. You own a license to watch The Matrix.
I say again.
No.
On my station
no one
three.
Owns The Matrix. The computers own The Matrix. We are just a part of it.
I say again, I don't even buy movies or movies or download movies, anything on my Station 4 anymore. I used to when I first got it, but I don't anymore. I do all that on my Station 3 because why? I can literally watch movies offline. Meaning it's downloaded. I even download it. Yes, you go through the process of downloading the movie on your Station 4. Still, you can't watch it unless you're online, even though it's downloaded on your system. That's stupid. If I go to Best Buy, buy my DVD, yes, I own it. I didn't buy the rights to own it. I bought the actual hard copy of that movie, meaning it's mine now. And I put it in my DVD player, Blu-ray or not. It plays. So again, I think a lot of gamers feel this way. Sony, stop it with the freaking online stuff. If I buy this movie, I want to watch it whether I'm online or not.
But Donnie, that movie, that purchase is tied to your profile.
Tied or not, it's still downloaded onto my system. I paid you money to own it. I didn't pay. Could it give you two options? You want to own it or rent it? So I paid you the money to own it. I pay you the $17, $15, $20, whatever it costs to own it, download it onto my system, and yet I can't watch it whenever I feel like it.
It's a form of crappy DRM. I mean,
it's a form of extortion. You just freaking robbed me, and I want to sue you guys.
Well, Donnie, we both know that's not going to happen.
But come on.
Because you can still watch the movie, you just have to go through the loophole, you just have to jump through the hoop of getting onto the internet.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't watch the movie.
Why can't you watch the movie?
Because I don't have net. Even though I own it and it's right there staring at me while I'm on my system, it's saying here, push the play button. But when I push it, I can't watch it because it says, hey, I have some suggestions for you. Connect to your system online.
Because it can't get online to verify you own the license.
Oh, my God. My system should have a hardwired into it because it's downloaded.
I will agree with you on that. There should be a way for your system to recognize that you have the license for it. I agree with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Just like I could say the same way it recognizes the video games that I bought without being online. How come it can't recognize the freaking movies I bought without being online?
That's a good question, Donnie.
Yeah, Station 3 does it. What's the deal with that?
Possibly because movies are more easily pirated than games.
No, just as easy. I got a partner at work who downloaded every single video game there is on Station 2 onto his system. I mean, Station 3, my bad, onto his system. So it's not that hard. It's just as hard, in my opinion, or just as easy. So again, Sony, what the deal?
Yield, would you like to contribute to this conversation,
Sony,
sir?
You about to have me get retarded. Ah, retarded in here. Like, come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. Donnie Babel.
That is going to close out our show. Babel. Let's move on to some housekeeping.
Yes, yes, because you don't own me. Let's go. You don't own me. Let's go.
ProvenGamer.com is looking for some staff members. We're looking for some writers.
Wait a minute. What happened to the topic of the week?
We don't have a topic of the week.
Yeah, we do.
I'm sorry. I didn't see the topic of the week.
Someone doesn't look at show notes.
I made the damn show notes.
I'll read it because I typed it in. We have topic of the week, people.
Oh, God. Then we don't have a topic of the week. If Donnie's asking the question, we do not have a topic of the
Again,
week.
Again, I always make sense. It's just your little mind, Pinky. It's a video game question. Is there a video game franchise out there, meaning like somewhere like after three, the third installment or later, that you really want to happen? And it did happen, but it was kind of sucky when it happened. Like, for example, I use mine was the Resident Evil franchise. Everybody loves Leon and everybody loves Chris in the Resident Evil franchise. It was that moment that I know I'm not the only one who had this moment or wish this moment would happen. It's like, oh, that would be so great if Leon and Chris was to ever meet up and do something together. You know, Leon being the cop on his first day, this Resident Evil crisis happened. And then out of nowhere, when it was done, he'd be somewhere along the lines. He became the freaking, the agent for the president and all that stuff. Chris, after all this junk happened on his end, he went off, pumped a bunch of iron and became like one of the most feared zombie hunters out there. And when they finally meet up in Resident Evil 6, it was the wackest moment ever. It was basically one guy ran into the door from one end of the warehouse. The other guy ran in from the door from the other end of the warehouse. They basically run in towards each other, don't know it. When they finally do meet up with each other, they pretty much just said, hey, what up though, Chris? Hey, what up though, Leon? Bye. That's pretty much what happened. And they never seen each other again. I'm like, that was so sucky. So I would just wonder, is there anything in the franchise that you guys really wish would happen in the franchise? It happened. You finally got your wish, but it was sucky. Or you got your wish, and this happened to be all that you expected it to be.
I really wanted to make Metal Gear Solid 4, and they did.
Oh, my God. No. That's not...
You just asked if anything happened, and it happened.
Okay, no. Okay. I guess I wasn't too specific. Happened inside of a franchise, not come out with a sequel, man. Come on. Come on. You guys know exactly what I meant by that. I gave you a big example, and you go come out where I wish they came out with Part 4, and they did. Come on, what happened in the Metal Gear franchise that you really wish would happen in the Metal Gear franchise, and it's so-called, and it really did happen, and then it turned out to be all that you expected it, or not what you expected it's going to be?
Okay, you want me to give my answer, but it's a huge spoiler for the Metal Gear franchise.
What has not been spoiled? Everything got spoiled in between three and four.
That Big Boss shows up at the end. And Big Boss and Snake have that conversation, and it includes Major Zero. And you kind of got closure on the whole Snake story, Solid Snake story. That was something that, I mean, it's not something I really was pining for because we all thought Big Boss was dead. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Big Boss was there and they finally had a conversation where they weren't trying to kill each other. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess this was I hear what you're saying, but it's not quite on the lines what I'm looking for because you wasn't really hoping that this would happen.
I was hoping that there would be, in everything that we learned through Snake Eater, that Naked Snake or Boss or Big Boss, whatever you want to call him, what we learned in that story, that he wasn't this big evil character that we were all led to believe, that we got the backstory on him.
Now, he was a big evil character. He just got twisted up along the way.
Well, no, no. The fact that, like, where he came from and why he turned out to be the way he is. I mean, even look, I mean, let's just jump ship a little bit here and go into the Batman universe. You know, you got villains like Two-Face that they were good guys, something horrible happened to them, and it changed them. Mr. Freeze, he was only committing crimes to get money to do the research to cure his wife. I mean, to be told somebody's evil and then hear the backstory behind him. I mean, jump into Star Wars. Star Wars. Episodes 4, 5, and 6, we all led to believe that Darth Vader was this horrible, horrible man that was going around killing everybody. But, you know, as bad as episodes 1, 2, and 3 were, we got the backstory of Darth Vader, and we now know why Anakin turned into Darth Vader.
Well, technically, you didn't have to go off into any of those other franchises. All you do is name every villain in Metal Gear franchise, because all of them had like a very...
Right, but Big Boss was... no matter what you talked about, I mean, even in Solid 1, 2, and even 3, you know, Big Boss was always the big villain that everybody remembered from the series. Liquid, Solidus, you know, they all tied into Big Boss. To have Snake and Big Boss sit down and finally have that conversation and clear the air, that was a relieving moment, and that's something that I know that any true Metal Gear fan, anybody that was time invested and emotionally invested in the story, they all teared up at that moment, because it's like, this is the closure that they needed for the series.
One of the best closures in video game history, in my opinion. But, okay, that's a good one. You didn't really wish or hope that would happen, but it happened, and it was better than what you expected.
After 3, I did. After 3, I did.
After 3, you expected that to happen?
I didn't expect it to happen, but it was something that I was hoping would happen, that somewhere we would get the conversation where Solid Snake and Big Boss actually sat down. I mean, I didn't know it was going to happen after 4. I mean, I had no idea that it would happen during that timeline, but there was a part of me that, you know, wanted to see the interaction between Big Boss and Snake that either led to them dueling to the death or after that,
what
and,
the heck?
You know, Big Boss is not really dead.
You got the reason why what led up to that in Metal Gear 1 and 2. The originals.
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
What do you mean? In the original Metal Gear, I mean, Snake was working for Big Boss, where also on Big Boss team, and he went out to go do some work. He come to find out that Big Boss was the reason why everything was going on where he was at. So he ended up like, hey, this ain't the right thing to do. I'm taking you down. I don't care if you're my daddy or not. That's pretty much what happened. Then 1 and 2.
All right.
The originals.
All right, we have to agree to disagree on that.
Oh, my God.
Anybody else have
an
answer?
Always agree to disagree, dude. You just cannot face
it. No matter what, we'd be here till 2 a.m.
I know, I'm just saying, he just can't face the fact that whatever comes out of Donnie's mouth, it just has to be Donnie Babble. Everything.
No, it's because what I'm saying, you're disagreeing with, and you're not going to back down, so I'm backing down. Okay. I'm saying, listen, we just disagree
all
on
right,
it.
All right, let's close the show. I guess the other two youths don't have anything.
No one asked me, so I mean, I guess I don't
have
anything.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I was trying to ask you, but Donnie kept saying that I'm trying to put him down. So, Alex, what is your answer?
So, all right, I've got two kind of answers here. The first one is Darksiders, which I would like to see a third one, but well, they're coming out with Darksiders 2. They're remastering it and coming out with that. And with THQ kind of out of the picture and Vigil Games, not really sure what's up with them, if they were bought in that sale or if they just kind of disbanded. I don't really see any news that's going to happen. So kind of disappointed there. I really liked the first one. Second was kind of disappointing, but I would have liked to see number 3. But probably the better answer to go more in line with what Donnie's question was is Dead Space. Really like Dead Space and Dead Space 2. Dead Space 3, though, I never played it. We got it free for PlayStation Plus. I've downloaded it. It's not on my game system. It's not on my PS3, but I can download it anytime and play it. But, so I really can't say that it's a disappointment, but at the same time, like, everything I've heard about it, including Donnie's firsthand account of it, is not good. Uh-uh. So, my answer would be Dead Space.
Okay.
All right, Yield, you have an answer?
No.
All right. With that being said, let's close out the show.
Yes, yes.
Let's do some housekeeping.
Yes, housekeeping. Screw you, Sony. Just clean up. Clean up this mess, Sony.
PoopGamer.com is looking for some staff members. We are looking for some writers, video editors, news reporters, and generalized help with the site. If you're interested in applying, go to the website, fill out the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're there, be sure to check out all of our articles and check out all of our videos. Speaking of our videos, they can be also found on YouTube by doing a search on YouTube for Official Proving Gamer, and all of our videos are there. If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways to get a hold of us. The first one is on Twitter. You can contact the site at Proving Gamer, at the show at Trophy Horse. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Donnie at Young Twist. You can contact Yield at I Yield to No One. And you can try to contact Alex at Saundersaurus Rex, but your chances are you're not going to get a response from him.
He needs to get back on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you listen to this podcast, we greatly... Oh, excuse me. Also, you can give us a phone call. Yield, what's the phone number?
Because I hadn't turned it off yet. Now you messed me up. Crap!
Yield, what's the phone number?
My rhythm got messed up.
330-776-8369.
There it is. My numbers were all jumbled.
Alright, you can also get a hold of us with the SpeakPipe app, which is found on the right side of ProvingGamer.com, also on our Facebook page. Speaking of our Facebook page, make sure you go there and contact us there. And please, while you're there, please hit the like button. If you listen to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it. But be sure to check out our other podcast, PG Spoilers, which was a 3.5-hour show yesterday on Arkham Knight, which will be posting either before this or slightly after. I do have to go through and edit an unedited show.
What?
Hopefully this one actually doesn't get lost.
Yes, because this was a better one than Tomb Raider.
I beg to differ.
You have to wait and listen.
I can't.
Why?
Because it's a spoiler.
Well, finish spoilers, then finish Arkham Knight, then go listen to the spoilers.
But then I know what happens. I don't need to listen to spoilers.
You want to listen for the opinions of your colleagues.
Oh, okay. Good save.
All of our podcasts can, excuse me, also check out Press X to Win, hosted by Nate and Ricky. All of our podcasts are found on iTunes, Stitcher, and your various podcast applications on your smart devices. But if you are listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher, please stop by, leave a rating, preferably 5 stars, and let us know how good of a job we are doing. Also, for our international listeners, if you left us an iTunes rating and we have not mentioned you, please sure to let us know what country you are from so we can change our iTunes store to that one, see your rating, and give you the proper shout-out on the show.
Well, how would you see that if they let you know? If they sent us a message from another place and we can't see it, how would we see the fact that they let us know that it's from another place?
Twitter.
Contact us. Let us know, hey, I left you an iTunes rating from Denmark, and I will change my iTunes store to Denmark and see their comment.
So they go to the whole point of that. Why just Twitter? God, that's on Twitter then.
Because right. They're leaving us a rating on iTunes. Which boosts our popularity in Denmark.
Keeping our rating at 5 stars.
Yes. We're big in Denmark, so you know.
Awesome, awesome.
All right. That is all with our housekeeping, but we do have some sponsors. Our first sponsor, nobody does it better by explaining it, so Alex, tell us about Extra Life.
My time to shine every single week. Extra Life is a fantastic gaming charity. It's annual charity that gets just bigger and bigger every single year. It's run through the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. This year it takes place on November 7th. And what you do basically is you sign up on extra-life.org. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you can either sign up to play solo on your own, go lone wolf, or you can join a team, or you can start your own team and have people join. Proven Gamer has a team, and we are happy for you to join that team. Right now, I think it's just Tricky and I Yield to No One on that team, correct?
No, we actually have 3 other teammates now.
Extra Life is a 24-hour gaming marathon. And after you signed up to play solo or you joined a team or created your own team, you basically get sponsorships. It can be $1 an hour. It can be $10 for the entire 24 hours. Basically, you just get sponsorships, and all of those sponsorships, the donations 100% go to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital of your choice, which we would assume is a hospital close to you or in your town. So it's a great way to do something very – it's a very easy way to do something really great and help out some sick kids who, you know, could use a little extra help.
Yo, can you GoFundMe?
No, go fund yourself. Go to GoFundMe.com/ProvenGamer. We got some trophy-themed donations, and it would help us raise some money for some better podcasting equipment.
If somebody was to donate $100 to us, they could have Donnie sing us a song.
Yes.
What song do they have to sing now?
Well, it's still July, so it has to be something independency.
You know what? I just realized I just became the Wayne Brady of trophy whores for some reason.
You do not have the celebrity status to call you, compare yourself with Wayne Brady.
You know what? We need Wayne Brady on.
It was a reference towards Whose Line Is It Anyway, man. Oh, my goodness. He's always singing. You guys always
I know
saying.
What you were going for.
No, you wasn't. You just trying to devil advocate me again.
Why don't you Wayne Brady and tell us who our next sponsor is? Amazon! Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon. If you could and would, each and every time you do your shopping on Amazon, stop by Proven Gamer first, click on any Amazon link, and continue with your normal shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. With all that being said, let's close out the show, but we can't do that without doing our shout-outs first. Donnie, I'm going to start with you, let you do your shout-outs.
I want to give a shout-out to all you listeners. You guys are awesome, awesome. You guys don't mess up as much as Sony, but Tricky does, due to all your little notes you guys left us. That was a reference to you, Tricky, messing up all those
I know
messages.
I didn't mess up anything.
Well, you know,
listen, there was no notification letting me know they were doing it, and they did not ever appear on the website, so it's not my fault. I had no way of knowing it until I went into Facebook one day and clicked on the app for Proving Gamer and went, oh, there's over 2,000 comments here. And I clicked accept all, thinking they're all going to appear on the website, and guess what? They all disappeared and went on to each individual's Facebook page that I have no way of tracking
down. Exactly. Clicking accept is like clicking no backwards compatibility. It didn't come back to you. Moving on. I want to give a shout out to you guys.
Yield your shout outs.
No.
Yield, just start your shout outs.
No, backwards compatibility on me, on my shout outs. Shout outs to you, to the Trophy Whores, to the Proven Gamers. You guys are awesome, awesome. I'm going to give a shout out to my show, who's still hanging in there. We're on our about to be 19th episodes starting tomorrow. We're not starting, but tomorrow, which would be Monday. And I'm also looking for a female co-host for anybody who's looking to get into the podcasting world with your none other than Donnie. I would like you to be non-sensitive and very funny. That's it.
Yield your shout-outs.
You know, this is several weeks coming because I kept forgetting about it. I want to give a shout-out to everybody on the Proving Gamer staff and also who jumped in to do spoilers on E3, who covered it, who wrote articles for it. That's very much appreciated, and I know it wasn't easy and it took up a lot of time, so you know, big shout out to all of you guys. As always, a shout out to the fans, a shout out to Alex, Tricky, and Donnie for recording. Sorry for being a little late. Shout out to Looney Tunes, because that's just great classic cartoons.
Oh,
and, yeah. You to Looney Tunes, that made you late.
Yeah, Looney Tunes is what made me late. See, that's a good reason. And then
so they gotta twerp you.
No, that's a shout out. And then I would, you know, I will give, even though we reported his passing, I'm gonna give a shout out to, Mr. Wada? I won't, yeah. I probably said his name wrong. What, Tricky, help me out here.
Iwata.
There you go. I'm gonna give him a shout out because without him, the video game industry probably wouldn't be where it is today. So, you know, thank you and rest in peace.
Alex, your shout outs.
As every week, I want to thank the fans for being awesome and just our listeners, our lifeblood. Thank you all very much for supporting us. We appreciate you all greatly. I wanted to give a shout out to you guys for, you know, making every Sunday night fun. And I also want to give a shout out to Likeyield, to Satoru Iwata, the late president of Nintendo, who had a humongous impact on my childhood, whether I knew it or not at the time, for the games that he put out, for the company that he helped direct. Nintendo was a big part of my upbringing, so he had a big impact, and it's a very sad day. So rest in peace, Satoru Iwata, and a big shout out to you. And, of course, as every week, a shout-out to Christina, my girlfriend, who she and I are now living together. So another big step in our lives together.
No, man, no. Don't do that, cuz. Don't do that.
Yeah. Well, we've technically been living together for months now because I've been staying at her place. But we made it official, and I have left my apartment, and I am officially on her lease. So we are living together.
You guys shacking up, man. That is, like... I think your parents teach you about that.
Donnie, I don't know what that means, but I do know what that means, but I'm not going to address that on our show because it's none of anyone's business. If by shacking up you mean eating ice cream together, then yes, we do that.
Wow.
Do I make you nervous, baby?
No, not really. But you make Tricky nervous.
And I want to give a shout out to all the listeners. A shout out to the NYPD, the FDNY, and the DSNY. Shout out and a twerp you to the women's soccer team who won the World Cup. A shout out to for winning the World Cup. A twerp you for me having to go clean up your damn parade.
That's un-American, sir. Very. You got paid for that.
Yeah, but
you're a commie, aren't you?
That was a hell of a mess.
Well, I'm sure it was a party.
But and also, I need to give a shout out to Sweet Mama D, who told me, "Daddy, you're not funny today."
She finally realized.
Give a shout out to the goddess. So, if there's nothing else, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
Peace out.
Later.
NES forever!
You done made it to another one. Replay. Oh, download another one. Continue your whoredom. Or you can go and do a tricky man and chop it. However you do it. Just don't forget to rate and leave a comment. And thanks again and listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.